Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Starcast, the German football pod, brought to you by The Athletic. Matchday 15 was a big one. Bayern lost in Gladbach, Dortmund won in Leipzig, and so did Schalke? Yes, this isn't one of my lame intro jokes. Schalke 04 of Gelsenkirchen did actually beat Hoffenheim 4-0 to leave all the Tasmania talk behind them once and for all, until they go on to their next poor run at least. Elsewhere, we pay tribute to another fine Stuttgart showing, commiserate Union for blowing the chance to put more pressure on the Champions League places, and we wonder which big name could come in to make Hertha great again, or for once rather. Christoph Biermann and Kevin Hatchard are on board to make sense of all the madness. But before that, here's our weekly reminder that you can listen to this pod free of ads and read all The Athletic's wonderful content for only £3.99 a month right now. Go to theathletic.com/StarcastPod to sign up. Right, good morning, guys. So many big games to talk about. It felt like a momentous match day. Every single game had something going on or another. What was, would you say, the most important result as far as the whole season was concerned, Christoph?
Strangely, I would say Dortmund winning at Leipzig, because it looks like as if Edin Terzic has managed to turn things around at Borussia Dortmund and turn them into a hard-working team now. And because I was pretty impressed how they won the match at Leipzig, had difficult at the first half, but a very good second half also when it comes to attacking the opponent, not just defending him. And yeah, I was impressed, but you're right. We can also talk about Schalke, a fantastic win. We can talk about Bayern Munich losing and Gladbach winning and so on. But I was particularly impressed by Borussia Dortmund.
I'd agree with Christoph on that, because I think it's important for Dortmund to kind of prove to themselves, really, that they're still a contender at the top end, because there was a lot of talk about whether Leipzig have taken over from them as the most realistic challengers to Bayern. And these games are often decided by tiny margins. If Dani Olmo scores at 1-0 down instead of hitting the post, maybe it's a different game. Maybe Leipzig then have got a bit of momentum. But I think it's not just the fact that Dortmund won. It was the way they performed in both halves in different ways. Defensively strong in the first half. Really, really good going forward in the second half. I mean, the quality of the goals was incredible. So I think psychologically, that's a massive step forward for them. And Jadon Sancho produced another good performance. So that's great for his confidence.
I think you're both right. Dortmund's win felt hugely important, certainly in the context of their own season. With Bayern losing, they're only 5 points adrift now. And there's a sense that maybe, just maybe, they're championship contenders once more. Whereas all the talk before the game and with Terzic coming, getting in, was of course them achieving top four, because the season had been kind of slipping away from them. Did we see enough, Christoph, to suggest that this can be a more regular process? I was, like you, particularly impressed with the way that they didn't necessarily press high, but they kept the team high to make it difficult for Leipzig to play out. They did a lot of moving around, cutting off angles, and Leipzig ultimately couldn't cope and lost the ball in difficult areas. And then Dortmund took full advantage and played some beautiful stuff in small transitions, if you will, three or four touches before the goal. Is that a viable and a realistic prospect to see that happening more often now?
I think so, because you could see it also the week before when they were defeating Wolfsburg, a team that is difficult to overcome. And in the same way, and we all know how good they are in attack, especially when Erling Haaland is back and you have Gio Reyna on the pitch and Jadon Sancho and Marco Reus and so on. So during the season, very often you had the impression that the foundation was missing, or there was lacking, they were lacking defensive coherence. And that's what we see from them now. And I think that's really important. And my impression is that Terzic has found a way to the ability of players that are not natural defenders or naturally working against the ball, like Marco Reus, for example, or Jadon Sancho and Gio Reyna. And now you see it from them, and they trying to do their best in that respect. And that's so important for Borussia Dortmund. And if they keep this, they can be a contender for the title again, something that has slipped away from them during the season.
How big do you think is the blow of losing Axel Witsel for the rest of the season? He went down hurting his Achilles tendon, very unlikely to come back before the Euros even.
I think it's a blow, but I wouldn't see a Witsel as the key player for the team, or not even one of the key players. So I think they will find ways to play with Delaney, maybe with Emre Can or others in this position. Maybe the quality will drop a bit there, but not to a huge extent.
Be interesting if Terzic somehow finds space for Julian Brandt in this team. Maybe against slightly more defensive opposition, he might be an option where they don't need two holding midfielders. I don't know if that upsets the balance too much, but I think it would be great to see him at least try doing that.
We know about the quality of Julian Brandt, but he especially, I think, is one of the players who has to learn the other part of the of football that is important now for every offensive player, that you have to work against the ball. I mean, an aspect we have to talk about later on also when we talk about Bayern and others. So what we see now, football in 2021, is everybody has to work against the ball. And if you have the best offensive qualities but you're not able to do this other part, you will be struggling, and that's one of the problems that Julian Brandt has. And maybe also Terzic finds a way to help Brandt to overcome this, because no doubt about it, he's a fantastic player.
Everybody has to work apart from Lionel Messi, of course. That's the big exception.
I think it's easy to forget with Brandt as well sometimes that he hasn't played central midfield for that long. He was a kind of wide-ish forward for quite a long time. It was Peter Boss who moved him into that central role with Leverkusen, and he's obviously kept that role with Dortmund. But it does take a long while, I think, to understand the two-way nature of that position. And I think with him as well, because he's been in and out of the team, he always feels a bit like a rhythm player, like a confidence player. But there's still a huge amount of quality in there.
What about Leipzig? Obviously a huge amount of quality in that team as well. You can talk about tactical issues. You can talk about them giving the ball away too easily in the second half in front of their own goal. But was it ultimately, if you look at both 11s, Christoph and Kevin, simply a case of one team with slightly more individual quality coming out on top?
I would agree. If you have two teams that are balanced in their organization and the work against the ball, in the end, the team with a better individual quality will win. And that's again saying good things about Borussia Dortmund on the one hand side. And I mean, still Leipzig is a very, very, very good team. And they had the chance also to go 1-0 up. And maybe we don't know what would have happened then. So, but yes, from the point of individual quality, they are a bit smaller team than Borussia Dortmund, and it says a lot about the enormous quality of the work of Julian Nagelsmann that he has kept them so high this season and also already last season.
It feels like this is the final step they have to take as a football club, because if you look at their performances against Dortmund last season, they lost at home. Away from home, they should have lost, but Dortmund imploded in that crazy 3-3 draw that we saw against Bayern. They obviously gave them a real scare earlier this season, but again, it was a draw against Bayern instead of a win. And so in these big games, they've already lost at Gladbach as well this season. So in these big games against elite sides in the division, they are still falling a little bit short. They're very good at knocking off the Augsburgs and the Mainzes and being very consistent generally in those games. But in these games against the big hitters, they're still not winning as often as they should be if they want to be considered as challengers for trophy.
And this is the key question, isn't it, Christoph? I mean, if Julian Nagelsmann, this is slightly speculative, but bear with me. If Julian Nagelsmann and Leipzig finish third this season, in a season where both Dortmund and Bayern are not at their best, would that suggest maybe to Nagelsmann, look, I'm working at the very top of my abilities here, but ultimately I'm coming up against a system where there's at least two teams that will always have better players than me. If I really want to fulfill my ambition of winning stuff, I probably have to move on. Is this the sort of season that might, or the lesson of the season that might actually make up his mind, you think?
Could be, because he is a very ambitious person. And if he has the impression that there is a glass ceiling at Leipzig that he can't get through and bangs his head, he might think about moving somewhere else. But where could that be? Interesting. It could be a European team. So a not German team. I don't know if there would be a chance for him to become Borussia Dortmund's coach. Could be an option. So yeah, but I think it's a good question. But let's see. I mean, we have been talking about Leipzig becoming the new number one, possibly after Borussia Dortmund had so many problems, and my feeling is that the season will be a roller coaster for a lot of teams till the end, and maybe Leipzig is lucky in that and gets higher maybe to second, and I still wouldn't write them off for winning the title, because yeah, it's a very special season, but in general you're right. I mean, there is a limit for the ambition of Julian Nagelsmann, and if his ambitions are bigger, he might move on.
Well, maybe the Bayern job will be open soon as well, because Hansi Flick is absolutely losing it in a quite literal sense. Second game already this season. That's unusual for this Bayern team. They lost 3-2 at Gladbach, having been 2-0 up. Maybe the problem was that they're so accustomed to coming from behind, they can no longer do it in another position. But who knows? I mean, it felt like a big deal for Gladbach. I am not sure, actually, that it was that big a deal for Bayern. When you looked at the reactions from the likes of Müller and Goretzka, they were very matter-of-fact, kind of analysing tactical mistakes, Bayern losing the ball in difficult areas, Hansi Flick making the point that, you know, when there's no pressure on the midfield, you shouldn't play such a high line, you should cover the space rather than try to play the offside. Little situations like that ultimately made the difference. And we've seen those little situations before being an issue for Bayern, but unlike that Gladbach game, perhaps they weren't up against opposition that could punish them for it. The bigger question is not so much what happened in the game. For me, the question is, can they reconnect with the way of playing that negates these issues, or at least helps avoid some of them? And here's my slightly more doubtful take on this. All along, it feels as if Flick's way of playing and the conditions on the ground when it comes to the personnel, tiredness levels, energy levels, etc., doesn't quite line up. And it doesn't matter so much when Bayern score 46 goals, more than anyone else in the league by quite a distance. But of course, it does matter when perhaps you're a little bit off it up front and you can see 24 goals, which is more than anyone else in the top six as well. So where do they go from here?
It's going to be a question of faith, I think, in the sense that if they still believe that's the right way to play, I still think
when
they
will believe...
When
you say they, do you mean the team?
The players
or the
and
coach
Hansi Flick.
Or both of them together?
I think as a collective. Okay. Because it was interesting listening to Leon Goretzka before the season even started, because he did express doubts about whether they could maintain it with so many games. However, even though there are these weaknesses, even though they coughed up possession in their own half time and time again, and that led to these goals for Gladbach and ultimately led to that defeat. If you look at the situation going into this game, and they are still top of the table, they won their Champions League group. They wiped the floor with Atletico Madrid along the way. So they're still in every competition. They've won the Super Cup, the DFL Super Cup, the UEFA Super Cup, for what that's worth. You'd have to think they'll probably win the Club World Cup that's coming up. So they are still winning games. They are still winning trophies. It is still a major shock when they lose. And that way of playing, I think, still is the right way of playing. It is going to be a question of whether they can tighten up. I think there are players that aren't at the same level as they were last season. There's been a lot of talk about David Alaba's statistics in terms of the challenges that he wins, in terms of his behaviour in transition, if you like. He's not quite as sharp as he was maybe last season. And so I think if they do stick to the plan, eventually it will come good, because that belief that they will always outscore the opposition by and large holds true. I mean, to have scored 46 goals in 15 games is ludicrous, really. And so, yeah, they'll be a bit concerned, but there were echoes of last season when they dominated the first hour of this fixture at Gladbach last season, ended up losing the game. They dominated the first half hour of this game, ended up losing the game, but it could easily have gone the other way. So I don't think they should be too concerned. I still feel they're the best team in Europe, and I still feel their way of playing is probably still the right way.
Still the best team in Europe, Christoph?
Well, that's a big word, but still the best team in Germany, surely. Yeah, there are doubts, and I think they will creep in, the collective, how Kevin said this, because it's taking so much energy. We have talked about this bizarre statistic that they had 8 games in a row where they were 1-0 down. Now they were 2-0 up and losing it. And I had the feeling after 30 minutes that I could switch off the television, because they were so much in control of the game. And I was totally surprised that Gladbach could turn it round, because they were in a way invited by Bayern. And I think there will be a lot of discussions within the team. Shall we change our approach, how we play? Does this, it's obviously that this high defending that they were so fantastic at this season doesn't work. I think it's explainable because they didn't have a proper preparation for the season, because they were preparing for the Champions League tournament in Lisbon. You can, if you look around Europe, you see that all the big teams, Liverpool and Juventus and so on, they are struggling right now because of the amount of matches they have to play and so on and so on. And in the end, maybe Kevin's advice is the best. Just stick to the plan and learn to accept that there will a defeat here and there, because I think this season we won't see any teams in Europe winning their league with getting close to 100 points or so. So everybody will be losing here and there, and but you just have to take care that it won't happen too often. And if you look at Bayern, they only gave away two games so far. Compared to the seasons before, it's a lot already. But as I said before, it's a very special season, this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. The one thing that worried me from Bayern's perspective was how effectively, almost easily, they were shut down in the second half once Gladbach took the lead. I mean, Bayern had a lot of possession but had absolutely nothing to show for it. I think there was a combination of factors at play there. The fullbacks right now don't seem to work at the same level that they used to. Davis is still coming back from injury, doesn't quite look his old self. Benjamin Pavard is having sort of a slight mini crisis. There's only Joshua Kimmich once, so he can't put him in midfield and on the right at the same time. And now, I know that to a man with a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, and to a man who loves Thiago, every problem looks like Thiago's not there. But even being cognizant of that bias, I still believe that lack of structure and possession refinement that Bayern have leads to more turnovers and then creates even more pressure on them to win the ball back and exerts even more energy of them. So if they had a bit more structure in possession and be a bit more pressing resistant, I think they'd be doing a lot better as well. But the kind of players that they bought for that haven't been in the team at the moment. Mark Rocco, for example. So, yeah, I think those issues might persist. Now, what about Gladbach, though? I mean, for them, it was a big game. It was talked up in some quarters as sort of being almost a decisive game of the season. I'm not sure that really was the case, because the proof in the pudding for them will not be whether they can beat Bayern or not, but whether they can pick up points more consistently against opposition that they're expected to beat. They are now much closer to the Champions League places again, 4 points off Dortmund in seventh. But a result and a performance that can give them kind of a boost and maybe help them in the next few weeks, or an isolated flight of fancy?
I think psychologically this is massive for two reasons for them. I think the first is, we talked about sticking to the plan with Bayern. Gladbach stuck to the plan all the way through the game, and it would have been very easy to abandon it with everything going horribly wrong in the first half hour. But they kept believing that they could set traps for Bayern. They kept believing they could win the ball high up the pitch. And when they did win that ball high up the pitch, that they had the quality of Lars Stindl to be able to play those passes. And they had the finishing ability, who knew, of Jonas Hofmann to convert those chances. And it was a terrific display in that regard, in terms of the effort, the pressing, but then that clinical edge in front of goal. I think the other reason it's important is because the game very much switched in that second half. Once they took the lead, it was then about whether they could be solid and whether they could hold on to that lead. And we've seen time and time again, yes, they qualified for the last 16 of the Champions League, and that's a massive achievement, but they nearly blew it. And the reason they nearly blew it is because along the way in that group stage, they led 2-1 in Milan against Inter, and they only drew 2-2. They led against Real Madrid, should have won that home game, only drew 2-2. And in the Bundesliga, we've seen them cough up late goals time and time again. So for them to actually keep Bayern arm's length in the way that they did in the last half hour of that game, I think will prove something to themselves. And I think that is important for them going forward.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com /courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Right. Perhaps the third biggest game, at least from Schalke's point of view, was their 4-0 win of Hoffenheim. That long, long record of winless games finally coming to an end just before they were beating Tasmania Berlin's record of 31 games without a win. 4-0 against Hoffenheim, a real explosion of goals and good football in stages. In hindsight, it looks perhaps almost probable that Hoffenheim might be the team providing Schalke with that first win, because they had been very, very shaky. But I don't think any of us expected Matthew Hoppe to score a hat-trick. And Sead Kolasinac having a real impact in his first game back as captain and left-back. Christoph, as a Ruhrpott native, you must have been pleased, I think, that Schalke found a bit of joy and happiness for once.
Not because I'm a Ruhrpott native, but I was actually feeling for the players for many weeks, because I think rarely in the history of the Bundesliga a group of players has been in such a depressing state. I mean, if we go back to Tasmania, they were like on holidays in the Bundesliga when you look at their story, because we heard it all before. They came up literally from holidays and had to start in the Bundesliga 2 weeks later and so on, and nobody expected anything from them. So it was a complete different story here with Schalke. And and so in that respect, I can feel for them, and I can feel for their happiness. I mean, they had so much bad luck over the season. I mean, there is this very very nice quote from Clemens Tönnies, who sometimes the gone big man at Schalke, the gone big boss, who was saying if we would start selling coffins, people would stop to die. And and that was a little bit the impression that Schalke made. And now, for the first time, they had an almost perfect game. They could have conceded goals early from Hoffenheim, and I think if they had, maybe we had seen the same pattern again, dropping heads and let the game slip away. But no, they didn't concede goals because Ralf Fährmann was doing well. A surprise decision to put him in goal and not Renault, who looked much stronger during the season. But Christian Gross was right in that respect. And Matthew Hoppe, who is 1.5 years with Schalke, he played in the second team on the fourth level of German football and scored one goal so far. And now he is scoring three goals. And Amin Harit, who scored the fourth and provided the first three. I mean, when you looked at him at recent weeks, I mean, you were thinking that his not so well playing football twin brother was on the pitch, and now obviously Harit came back from some imaginary holidays, or I don't know what happened. So altogether, it was the perfect game that Schalke was having, and I think the happiness still today is overwhelming.
I think the key is the first goal, because I think if Hoffenheim score that first goal, we might have seen what we've seen with Schalke time and time again, which is the heads go down, they start to panic and things unravel. But because Fährmann had the performance that he had, they were able to stay in the game. And you could see once they got that first goal from Hoppe, and all the while I was thinking, could have been Ahmet Kutucu, if only they'd given him that faith, but never mind. So they were able to build upon that. They were able to go on and complete that incredible win. I'd actually be quite annoyed in some ways if I was a Schalke fan by Harit's performance, because I'd be thinking, where's that been for months? We know he's talented. We know that when actually they were going really well in the early part of last season, which seems about 10 years ago now, but when they were doing really well in the early part of last season, he was making goals, scoring goals, but it all fell away. And so they need him to be consistent between now and the end of the season if they're going to get out of trouble, because they still have work to do. Yes, they're off the bottom, but they do still have a gap to bridge. So a big first step, psychologically absolutely massive, but still work to do.
Well, indeed, Schalke are still in the bottom section of the table now, and 17th was just 7 points after 15 games, but only 4 points adrift from the relegation playoff spot, which is currently held by Köln. And Köln is a team and a club that we haven't talked about a lot in this pod so far, and perhaps the less said the better, but I think we need to mention the fact that they lost 5-0 against Freiburg. First of all, because Freiburg had a really good game and again are slowly but surely creeping up the table. I think 5 games in a row they've won now. So yeah. Whoever picked them to maybe go down this year, and I'm of course looking in the mirror at this point, should hang their head in shame as usual for getting it so wrong. But Köln, I mean, what's going on there? I mean, there's issues off the pitch, Christoph. There's issues on the pitch, and they look like a team that, if anything, could be even worse than Schalke this year?
When we look at last season, they were in a similar situation before Marcus Gisdol came in. The situation was even worse. So the around Christmas, you had the impression as if they would be the team to go down. And then Marcus Gisdol came in and in a spectacular fashion turned things around for Cologne. But I think in general, they weren't able to solve their problems. They, especially up front, I mean, they are... we have the, it's a similarity to Schalke and also to Bielefeld, that we have three teams so far in the season that they were almost no threat for the opposing goal. And that's interesting to see. They bought Sebastian Andersson from Union Berlin, who is out now with injuries. We have Anthony Modeste, who looks like... like another player, as he was when he had his heydays at Cologne. And but it's not only because of the strikers, it's also because of the whole build-up of the game. And I have the impression that Marcus Gisdol so far hadn't found any solution to create something like an attacking game. And on the other hand side, especially at Freiburg, you could see that the defensive foundation has become very shaky. So the situation is bad actually at Cologne, but we have this tiny group of or small group of underperformance at the end of the Bundesliga table. Maybe they are not even underperformers, they're just playing bad football. And and out of the, I think, 4 teams, one will be lucky to escape it, and one will be lucky to get into relegation, whoever that might be.
Horst Held, the sporting director, has been very staunch and public in his backing of Marcus Gisdol, and I struggle to see why, quite frankly, because if you look at Gisdol's entire reign, you're only really looking at 1 8 or 9 game burst, which admittedly was very impressive when he brought in all the kids, guys like Ismail Jakobs, Jan Thielmann came in, Noah Katterback came in at left back, and they all did very, very well for a couple of months, and that's effectively what got them out of trouble. But I think they've only won twice since the return from lockdown, which is an appalling record. And they have spent a fair bit of money on that squad, not recently, but in general. I felt it was a good squad when they came up from the second tier, and I still feel they should be doing far, far better than they are at the moment. So I think the finger of blame has to point at the coach. I know that generally is the temptation, but I think in this case, it is absolutely true because I don't think Gisdol, over his time at Köln, has really shown that he's the man to take that team forward.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen whether Bo Svensson, the new Mainz coach, is the man to take them forward. They were a little bit unlucky to lose 2-0 in the derby against Frankfurt, two penalties that they gave away fairly carelessly. They're down in 18th spot with only 6 points. But it was a big weekend for Bielefeld, who managed to beat Hertha and have pulled off the feat of being in 15th spot with 13 points and only 10 goals scored. 10 goals in 15 games. Now, if you saw the game, Kevin, I know, actually, I have a good authority that you did see the game.
Yes.
Or you had to see the game, especially the first half. It didn't necessarily look as if Bielefeld would score, but they managed a superb strike from Yabo, and Hertha did absolutely nothing. And that was the story of the game. But enough for Bielefeld to have a bit of hope, and enough, or not enough for Hertha, I should say, to deliver another Bruno Labbadia debate and questions over his future.
Yeah, I think if we start with Hertha, it was a really poor performance. And they only really came to life towards the end of that second half. And it was too late by then. They'd lost the initiative. They'd been outworked. They'd been outmuscled in that second half. And you look at the quality that they had on the pitch at the top end. Yes, Matheus Cunha was out with a groin injury, and he is their most naturally gifted player in attack. But they still had John Córdoba, who I think is a very, very good centre-forward. Christoph Piontek came on, had a goal ruled out for handball, quite rightly. And they had Dodi Lukebakio, who, if you look at the numbers, is very effective on a regular basis in the Bundesliga in terms of scoring goals and making goals. So they had the quality there. I still think they have a massive problem at fullback, because I think fullback is such an important position these days in modern football. And they seem to be the real weak links for me in that Hertha team. And they struggle to produce complete performances. There are bits that are good. There are players that are good. I thought Guendouzi was very active and constantly trying to get involved. But they do look, as a unit, as if it's a unit that's malfunctioning. On the Bielefeld side of things, there's a real echo of Ralf Hasenhüttl's Ingolstadt for me. The kind of team that will fight for every inch, the whole any given Sunday thing, the whole Pacino speech. They will absolutely scrap in every game. They don't have the quality in midfield to create lots of chances. Fabian Klos will batter defenders all game and will do his job effectively, but he's not getting any service. But if they could improve things like the set plays, because that's a real problem at the moment. Ritsu Doan could not take an effective corner or a free kick all game. We know how good he is in open play. But if they could find somebody who could deliver good set plays, I think they've got a fighting chance, because they're not going to blow teams away. They're not going to be able to shred teams with wonderful passes from midfield, but they will fight every single minute of every single game.
I'd like to add something on Hertha, and that's a wild speculation.
Oh, we love those. Yeah,
we like that.
I thought so, and I think that it's evident that Bruno Labbadia is for whatever reason not able to develop this Hertha team. And if they think of replacing him, and if we think about the deep pockets that Hertha has and the ambitions that Hertha has, what about Thomas Tuchel as a coach for Hertha? I think that would be a sign of their ambition that they showed on the transfer market, where they spent a lot of money last winter, this summer, and so on, brought in some big names that hadn't have so fantastic performance so far. And that could be a project interesting for somebody like Tuchel, because the money is there. It's a big city. It could be an interesting project, maybe even for him. What do you think?
I think it's possible. I give you more speculation. You know that Marc Korsika, the agent of Jürgen Klopp, is in the advisory board, but he also looks after Ralf Rangnick, If you think of, you know, a project, a club that needs expertise beyond the coaching, it could be a similar story to Hoffenheim and Leipzig, possibly.
But that would mean that Rangnick would come in as a replacement for Michael Preetz, and he would... I wouldn't expect him to become a coach anymore, but because I think he sees his role nowadays, or not only nowadays, but in recent years, more on the level as a technical director or sports director or so on. And I see it, that he might come in with somebody, with a coach he is trusting. Yeah, that could be also an option.
But Rangnick might want to do both. If you look at the fact that not that long ago he was linked with a dual role at Milan, effectively a coach and sporting director, and it was only because they've done so well under Stefano Pioli that he walked away and they walked away from the possibility of him coming in. If he could do both roles, obviously with some help, but if he could do both roles, that might be an attractive possibility as well. But I wonder if maybe he wants a more established club that he could win trophies with. But I think the Tuchel one's interesting because he would certainly improve them in an attacking sense. And I think that's probably what they need, because we know that Labbadia is an organiser. He steadied the ship. He got them to the point where they weren't going to go down. Now it maybe needs somebody to take them on a further step.
But if it is indeed Tuchel or Rangnick, either of them working with Michael Preetz should make for a very interesting scenario. Before we go, I think we have to give our customary name check to Union Berlin. Huge setback for them. They dropped 2 points in the race of the Champions League. You laugh, but it is true. They're now 3 points off the top four after a pretty wild and entertaining 2-2 draw against Wolfsburg. And that's not something that you necessarily say often about Wolfsburg games, but it was a good game to watch. And Süddeutsche's take I saw this morning, Christoph, was that Union showing that they're not quite a super team yet. Is that what you took away from that game?
I was actually there in the stadium, and what I took home from there is how surprised I am still that they are, that it was a normal game between two teams of similar quality. And I mean, if we still have to keep in mind that Union Berlin has a squad that is the second cheapest in the Bundesliga. I think only Arminia Bielefeld has less money to spend on their team. And you look at this match and you see two teams who are level altogether. And also, if you keep in mind that there are several players missing for Union, especially Max Kruse, Jan Perlow, and Christian Gentner, and so on. And that astounds me still massively. So you look at the match and think, oh, it's okay, 2-2. They could have won. But it was a normal game between two teams of similar quality, and that is such a huge sensation. It's unbelievable.
Urs Fischer has done such a terrific job as coach of Union, and I think when Max Kruse got injured, we wondered, are they going to be able to play this attacking football that they have been playing, this progressive football? But what he did is he went back to basics effectively, because he put Geraldo Becker in a front two with Taiwo Awoniyi, and that's worked incredibly well because Becker has so much pace. I mean, in the second minute, he showed incredible pace to get to a loose ball ahead of the goalkeeper, Castells, and then he puts the ball wide inexplicably and then scores an absolute banger 25 minutes later. So he's been great since moving into the centre. Awoniyi feels trusted, has had a good run in the team, is scoring goals. But I guess what we did see, once Wolfsburg went down to 10 men, we actually saw which is the team that has perhaps a little more experience at this level, in the sense that Wolfsburg kept the ball very, very well. They kept Union at arm's length. and they kind of negated that numerical superiority. That's going to take time. It's only Union's second season at this level. They'll learn eventually how to deal better at this level with that kind of situation. But they are having just the most remarkable season. And all of the parts of the team, the goalkeeper's making saves, the defence looks solid. Guys like Andrić are working really well in midfield. And that front two looks great.
Yeah, less great was Leverkusen's performance. They were a little bit undercooked as they drew 1-1 against Werder Bremen. Not that much happening. Certainly not by way of an attacking force from Leverkusen. They're in third now, still 29 points, four off Bayern. But Stuttgart, I think, deserve another mention. Another really fantastic barnstorming performance. 4-1, they beat Augsburg. Presidential issues off the pitch, not so much. On the pitch, no problems at all. Another really controlled, but at the same time, thrilling 4-1 win. Christoph, we have to take them quite seriously, this team, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, they are constantly in the competition with Union Berlin, who is the surprise team of the season. And I think it's important. It was an important win for them. In the context of this power struggles for the president's position at Stuttgart that we have been talking about last week, and because you could have thought that maybe the all these discussions and so on that it would disturb the sporting part of the club, but as we could see at Augsburg, it didn't. They are still the team that scored the most goals away from home. Very impressive, and played very entertaining football. So back on track, and that's important that these struggles didn't interfere as much as some people were thinking before.
Feels like there's a really nice balance to the side as well. They've got strength in midfield through Wataru Endo, but they've got great pace in attack. Waman Gatuka has been fabulous so far, and there's a real fearlessness about how they play, and they've got a strong squad as well. If you look at Sasha Kalajic, who started the season scoring plenty of goals, he's not a starter on a regular basis now, so Pellegrino Matarazzo, who's been brilliant as coach, has got plenty of options. So there's no reason why they can't continue like this, and if they could somehow start picking up more points at home as well, a run for top eight, top six isn't totally out of the question, given the way this season has gone.
Yeah, and I think we can't really praise Stuttgart enough. Amazing achievement already to be nowhere near the relegation places after 15 games in, 21 points, and maybe a outside chance to even get into the Europa League places. They're only 4 points adrift. The tremendous work there being done by Pellegrino and Mislintat and Hitzlsperger. But I think we've mentioned every single team this week. So much going on. A wonderful match day for all sorts of different reasons. But first of all, of course, for Schalke, who are no longer in danger of being the worst Bundesliga side in history. That's something. But hopefully there can still be a Bundesliga side at the end of the season. And that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much, Christoph and Kevin, for coming on. Thank you very much, dear listener, for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.